This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
And Robert, what's been in store for your week?
We had our first council meeting of the new council.
Well, let me interrupt you and say congratulations on your re-election as Melbourne's Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Tess.
It's your third term.
It is. It turns out you can fool most of the people most of the time. You know, it's remarkable, isn't it?
I have to say, you are Melbourne's favourite Lord Mayor. There's no question about it.
That is very true.
A great friend to our community, and we love you.
It's entirely mutual, let me tell you. I actually feel a bit humbled, you know. You sort of, when you offer yourself for election, it's a bit nerve-wracking because, you know, people are making a personal judgment about you. And to increase my primary vote was, you know, most gratifying. So I want to thank all those people who did vote for me. I can tell you, Taz, since the election, it turns out I must have had 100% of the primary vote because I haven't met anybody who voted against me yet.
Right. Wow.
I think there are a few of them, though. No, but it was very gratifying. And as I say, I feel very honoured. I'm a little bit tired, so I'm looking forward to my January holiday and then back into it at 100 miles an hour.
Well, we'll come back to your holiday, okay. Shannon.
So, Robert, this is your third term. What keeps you coming back to this job? Why do you love it so much?
Oh, it's the best job in the world, Shannon. It's just don't tell people that. They might want to take it from me again. It really does charge you up. I like doing lots of different things. You know, I like having a lot of balls in the air at the same time. And being
don't we all?
Yes, exactly right. A better woman would have just walked around that one, but there was no chance of that,
not
was
me.
There?
Stop. Playing with balls.
Yeah, okay.
It's too early on
We've really taken an early nosedive, haven't we, in this program? Bring back Macca, I say. I didn't think I'd say that. Yeah. What were we saying? I forgot what we were talking about.
Why do you love the job so much?
Look, because there are lots of different things. You know, you walk in and you might be dealing with someone who's got a real problem in either aged care or child care. You might deal with people who are putting up an exciting new building in Melbourne. You know, there's the Queen Victoria Market. You know, looking at really difficult problems like homelessness, you know, not a pleasant thing, but something that we've really got to get stuck into.
Mm.
So there's a whole range of different things that you can actually devote your energy and resources to, and I find that very exciting and very rewarding.
And tell us about your new council. What are they like?
Yeah, they're good. There are a few who've
Did
returned.
Team Doyle win?
We don't have a majority, although at the moment we only have 10 councillors. We had a little electoral hiccup, which will play itself out in the courts, let me tell you. So
we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we will. So at the moment, I have the casting vote, but I prefer not to run a council like that. I like to get people on side and try to get a consensus. And so, for instance, at our council meeting, every item was unanimous this week. Now, that didn't mean we all agreed from the start, but it takes a fair bit of work to get through to where people are comfortable enough to support
sure.
what's coming up. I prefer to work like that. We've got a terrific young man, Philip Leleu, who's done a lot of work with international students and with the international community, and he will take that portfolio of international engagement. Just a ripper bloke, Michael Kafer, who's a trader at the Queen Victoria Market. He has a wonderful bakehouse there, and Michael will bring some great experience to small business, retail and hospitality.
And you've got my old mate, Nick Rees.
I have got Nick as well. Nick ran on my ticket. He's going to take the planning portfolio, so he's going to be one very busy boy.
Whoa.
But, yeah, he's certainly up for that, and he brings a fair bit of intellectual firepower
yes,
to the policy thinking of council, and that's why I was delighted to have him on my ticket. There's a young woman who is part, her origin is Cambodian, Tessa Sullivan. She stood on my ticket as well. Tessa has a Master of Laws degree and is a mediator. She speaks four languages. She spent 2 years in a wheelchair because she had an autoimmune disease when she was younger, and she'll take the people portfolio, which is a wonderful fit for her. And then we have, you know, our normal characters who are back again. Again, a great friend of this program, Councillor Rohan Leppert. And Rohan is a... You know,
he's the Greens councillor,
He's a Greens
yes.
councillor, yeah. Very hardworking, Just a terrific young man, and he's going to take the arts, culture and heritage portfolio. So he will be doing a fair bit of work there. He's also deputy chair of planning, so he's a pretty key member of council for me. Dr. Cathy Oak is back, and Cathy will take the environment portfolio.
Great.
And she's done that previously, but she's actually in Mexico at the moment, at the COP in Mexico. And my new deputy Lord Mayor is Councillor Aaron Wood, that people might remember from the environment portfolio. Others might remember him for being the Clio Bachelor of the Year.
We'd like to have him in sometime.
There was just an awful predictability about that.
Dear, you've got yourself some competition now, Robert.
I'm no competition in those areas, let me tell you. They're a good bunch of people, and they're really, you know, I think very keen to get on and work together. And our first big job, and we'll do that over Christmas through January, and we have to come up with it by June of next year. You work together on a 4-year council plan, and then you work on a year-by-year plan to make that happen. So that's quite an exciting time, thinking about just what our agenda is going to be for the next 4 years.
But Robert, tell us, what is hot in Melbourne at the moment? What's exciting Melburnians? What's bringing people into our city?
Christmas at the moment. It's just one of those wonderful times of year. We do a fair bit of work to make sure that people can come into the city and enjoy it without spending, you know, a bucket load of cash. Mm. I know there's a big focus on retail, and people do, you know, buy presents, and that's great for our retailers. It's their busiest time of year. I always encourage people, you know, maybe a little bit of thought, a bit less cash, because, you know, then those credit card bills hit in January. I always encourage people to just drive safely, because lots of us travel at this time of the year, and the road toll goes up, and we've had trouble with the road toll. But if you think about the city, you can bring your family in. You can do the traditional thing and go and see the Meyer windows. Up above you, there are 800 bells in the Bourke Street Mall that play Christmas carols. You can wander past a number of the volunteers who are collecting money for the Salvos and the green T-shirts, and they're playing instruments and singing carols. You can come down to the Gingerbread Village, probably my favourite. It's in Town Hall.
In Town Hall.
It's 500 kilos of gingerbread.
Wow.
What?
And thousands of little marzipan figures. There's an MCG with a football game.
And do you get to eat it?
No, you can't. This has been there for about 6 years. So
Okay.
You can buy gingerbread there.
Okay.
But our pastry cooks make this. look, there's an MCG, and I said to Denise, who's our head pastry chef, I'm disappointed because last year there was a football game going on this gingerbread MCG, and if you look around the back, there were two Collingwood supporters being ejected from the ground. So I thought that was a lifelike touch, but you can see the Grand Prix track, you can see Luna Park, you can see the Art Spire, all of the Melbourne landmarks in gingerbread. There's even a gingerbread town hall, and if you look outside, you'll see a portly little Lord Mayor standing there in his robes.
I wouldn't have said portly myself.
I would have. You can make a gold coin donation, but you don't need to. Then go down to Christmas Square, which is City Square, a real tree, not some fake thing, 7 metres of sequoia at 4.5 tonnes, beautifully lit up. You can have your photo taken with Father Christmas, doesn't cost you anything. The nativity scene is there. You can just sit in greenery. And remember, this is the last time we'll have City Square for probably 8 years because of Melbourne Metro. And then, for me, the real highlight of our Christmas decorations, because we have them in the street as well, but at night, on Town Hall, we have the most magnificent projections onto Town Hall. It's a light show. My favourite is when you look at the tower and there's a little nutcracker soldier who looks like he's sitting on it and swinging his legs.
Fantastic.
But it's a beautiful light show and projection illumination on Town Hall. It's also at Fed Square. We get about 5,000-6,000 people a night coming to see that.
Wow.
That's on right now. Okay,
All of that is free. It's all free. And so you don't have to come in and spend a whole lot. You can bring the kids in. You can bring in your loved ones. You can just come in yourselves and have a really pleasant Christmas experience without spending anything.
And have you announced yet what happens on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, no, I do that a little bit later.
Okay.
We've spent about $3.8 million on Christmas and about the same on New Year's Eve. But the interesting part of New Year's Eve is that the fireworks themselves, which of course are the centrepiece of New Year's Eve, It's only about 300, 350,000. The rest is security and logistics to keep those 500,000 people safe as they move through the city. So,
and are we getting more people because of the public transport, the free public transport?
We are. I think that's been a great boon. You know, that's now moving, I think, around 50,000 people each weekend. And
it's amazing.
Can I tell you, it's also helped with safety and security in the city, because you don't have sort of people wandering around waiting for the next, you know, the first train at 5 a.m. So it's been terrific for the city. And I think it's just one more of those little elements that puts a tick in the 24-hour city box.
I
like that.
Yep. And what's in store for you for Christmas?
I've been a very good boy this year, Cass. A very good boy. So I'm not expecting, as my dear departed mother would have said, you've been bad. You're getting a bundle of sticks. I used to terrify me. Look, since we've had Henry, and Henry's only 2.5, my other little boy is 30. So if anyone can beat that age spread, you know, the bottle of champagne's on me.
Okay, so that tells us something about your fertility?
It tells us something about when you marry a second time someone who's much younger, what goes with the deal. And look, he's just I love Christmas with him. I'm really looking forward to paying school fees again in 2026. That'll be tremendous. But that's great. But on Christmas morning, my tradition has been, when I first divorced, I have lunch with my grown-up kids before Christmas, and then they go with their mum down to the beach. And so I was sort of spending Christmas alone, not miserably, because I'm not a miserable sort of person. I'm perfectly capable of sitting in the sun and having a glass or two of rosé and enjoying myself. But I thought, it's Christmas morning, why not do something for other people? So for much more than a decade now, I've joined Major Brendan Nottle, and I drive a bus on Christmas morning, and we ferry the homeless and people who are, you know, really strugglers to a big lunch, sometimes in Docklands, sometimes over with Collingwood in Victoria Park, where they set it up over there. And so I spend my morning doing that. And it's not that I'm necessary as a bus driver. I think it's just sort of saying to people who really do struggle throughout the year, there are people in public life like me who are prepared to give time to you because you are important. You're a part of that community. And I've really found that great fun for Christmas for well over a decade now. I didn't do it last year because Henry was too little. And then in the afternoon, so I'll have lunch with my grown-up family, Emma and Henry, just before Christmas. And then after Christmas, on Christmas Day, we get home to Emma's parents in Geelong. But before then, I've got to get through the 12th of December when my son is getting married. So it's a reasonably busy December for us. Yes.
Why did you pick December of all months to get married? What a hectic month to plan
a
wedding
hard time
in.
He lives in Sydney now, so I think part of that Sydney mentality has got to him, where you don't pay any attention to anybody else's requirements and needs and only think about yourself. No, he's not like that at all. I think, like lots of young people, when they found the place they wanted, they took the date they could get.
Right.
Well, that's very exciting, Robert. You've actually got a wedding to look forward to.
I have, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Go and get yourself a new suit and a haircut and some new shoes.
And is little Henry going to be the page boy?
I can't see him in a little Lord Fauntleroy sort of outfit with satin collars, but he'll be there. But my Andy, the last time he came down, he's always sort of had a beard, but his beard has been somewhere between bushranger and homeless person sort of look. But now he's up in Sydney. He's got the part, you know, in the hair that you do with a theodolite.
Yes.
The beard is carefully
very
trimmed.
Very Bondi.
Seriously.
Yes.
Where he lives.
There you go.
he's manly now, actually. Okay. So I mean that in the suburb sense, of course.
So one of our listeners, Robert, has just emailed in and said, please put some photos of Henry on your Facebook site.
Oh, okay. I will do that. I don't like to do it too much.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit, because it's kind of not fair to him, but I certainly will. Praise the Lord, he looks like his mother. So he's a very, very handsome little boy, and he's funny as. So that's great. He's into drawing at the moment. He likes drawing, but he likes diggers, and he likes, you know, all of those little boy things. And his favourite colour, without any doubt in the world, is pink.
So let's come back to Melbourne.
Yes.
So I believe that there's a family violence memorial being put up somewhere.
We're looking at where we might do that.
Is that a partnership with state government?
With the state government and us. And also there's a domestic violence council. It's led by, of course, the remarkable Rosie Batty.
Yes.
And my friend Christy McKellar, who's also a person who's experienced domestic violence, works there as well.
And what might this thing look like?
Look, I don't think... It's not going to be like that hideous sculpture down in Sturt Street in South Melbourne, South Bank, for those of you who've seen that. I hate it, but anyway.
Which one are you talking about?
It's the one opposite the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art.
Love it.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
Which one's that? Just give us an idea for people who are struggling to remember.
It's like
prongs.
Yeah, it's like prongs coming out of the ground.
Actually going to become a live, living place for flora and fauna.
Well, so what have you got against flora and fauna, Robert?
Yeah, thank you. Why do I hate children? You know, thank you very much, Shannon. That's very helpful. I just think, look, for a start, it's all fenced off. And so the public are excluded from a part of public space. Secondly, it's big and intrusive and dominates that whole space.
A horrible space. It's a dead space, Robert. Well, you can't get to it anyway.
Well, you know what we should have done there? Instead of recreating the road, we should have closed that exit, which we don't need, and turned the whole lot into parkland in the middle of Sturt Street that people could use, right opposite the Victorian College for the Arts Secondary School. Turn it into a park. You know, when in doubt, use trees and grass, is my view.
So tell us, so this memorial for family violence, what's the idea behind putting a memorial up for something like this?
Memorial's kind of the wrong word, I think. I don't quite know what you would call it, but I don't see it as a sort of a sculpture or a bit of plonk art or something like that. It's more like a space or a place where people can go, where we can commemorate people's bravery and where you can think about it. And I think a sort of a place of restfulness and I hope of tranquility and healing, a contemplative space. And if we can't find one of those, somewhere in our beautiful gardens, I'll go here for Chasey. But it's just one of those big issues that I think, you know, where 10 years ago we wouldn't have talked about domestic violence, now I think we all
recognize it. That's fantastic.
It's very healing, I think.
So what are some of the initiatives that the City of Melbourne have in regards to domestic and family violence?
Well, we have counselling, of course, and we work very closely with police. And because we have so many community centres, we come in contact, and childcare centres as well, we often come in contact with people who may be suffering domestic violence. And so really our role is more of a referral agency to the other agencies, whether that's VicPol or the community services of the state. But I think one of the important things, even though we haven't got a primary role, all levels of government should be joined up in this. You know, we can't have this sort of stuff falling between the gaps, as I think has happened with homelessness. You know, this is too big a problem.
Sure.
It's all three levels of government, and we've all got to be focused on it.
And we are at a crisis time, aren't we, when it comes to domestic violence? It's critical to address it in the multi-pronged way that you're suggesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, look, the causes are manifold, as we know, but the good thing is now, I don't think there's a big upswing in domestic violence. I think it's always been
there.
Yes. But now
we're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we're reporting it. And that's a big step forward. No, I think there is general dissatisfaction with government and probably with good underlying reason. I mean, when we think about this year, I mean, the two big world-shaping events of this year are Brexit and Trump.
Correct.
And both of them are the screams of the disaffected.
Yep. Mm.
And saying, you know, I will be heard. And that's what's happened both times. I'm not sure that either one is going to finish up well, but that's sort of where that's where the judgment of the people is at the moment. And you know, look, I'm very lucky. When I get to have a conversation with my political constituency, it is that inner Melbourne constituency, and we can talk about issues that are, you know, probably to the SPC worker in Maroopna who's just lost his job, marginal at best.
Right.
Whereas they are central here in the centre of the city. So I don't discount the fact that I'm very lucky. But I think one thing we've got to remember is that there is now kind of a Sidmel conversation, isn't there?
Yes.
That there's the centre of Sydney and the centre of Melbourne and the rest of the country.
Yes. Yep.
And even a Vic New South Wales conversation that is not shared by the rest of the country.
Yes.
Now, I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
I don't say that we've got it right or the other conversation has got it right, but it's just a distressing direction that I see our country going in. This is a very hard country to lead at the moment.
Yes.
Everyone says we're crying up for leadership. But you ask 10 different people what that means, and you'll get 10 different answers.
You will. Yes,
and,
you will.
And one man's leadership is another man's dictatorship,
by the
way.
Yes, you will.
So, you know, I just think that's no excuse. I mean, if you've got the job is leadership. So you've got to get on and do it. As I say, every day kiss the ground that I'm no longer in state parliament.
So you've given us a bit of a reflection on the federal scene. What are your reflections on state government's performance?
If you read the Herald Sun and the Herald Sun alone, you know, we're living in dark days indeed. I give the government pretty good marks for infrastructure. I think they are trying. You know, whether you agree with the East-West Link cancellation or not, the Metro Tunnel is the most important project in Australia. Mm. I see the level crossing stuff they're doing. I know that the Tullamarine is in agony at the moment, but that widening does need to be done.
Yep.
The Western Distributor is coming onto the agenda. So this is
an infrastructure government.
I think it is, yeah. I mean,
I would argue as a gay man that it's a social policy agenda.
Mm.
The equality agenda has been tremendous. Yep. I mean, our community, and when I talk to my colleagues and my friends interstate, they all say, we want to come and live in Victoria.
Yeah. Yep. It is the envy of the country, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair enough. I think in other areas, you know, they've looked pretty loosely wrapped. I mean, the CFA stuff has been pretty ugly.
Yep.
You know, you don't like to see, you know, don't like to lose ministers. When you're losing ministers, that shows you there's something going wrong in government internally. But, you know, I mean, overall, I must say, I get on very well with Daniel Andrews and Tim Pallas and the ministers that I deal with.
Yeah. Well, you actually work for him, don't you, in another hat?
I do. I'm chairman of Melbourne Health.
That's right.
So, and they reappointed me for a further term beyond the normal limit, which I'm very pleased about. So, I mean, I'm happy to work with people that are working for the city. I mean, I don't, you know, much care which side of government I'm working with, federally or state. And I've worked now with both sides federally and both sides in the state. And I'll continue to do it. If it's good for Melbourne, then I'll work with the government to deliver it. So, look, overall, I think our expectations of government are particularly high at the moment. One thing that John Hewson didn't mention that I'd really be focused on, if I were, whether I were a federal or a state leader, is the fact that our economy is changing speed.
Yes.
The mining boom is over. That wealth is no longer there. You know, the exit of the car manufacturing industry sends a powerful message to us. And that means we need to change gears to a knowledge-based economy, high-value jobs, you know, thinking about where that next tranche of jobs should be. I mean, my own daughter now works for the TAC, used to work for National Australia Bank, and is under 30, but her job didn't exist when she left school.
There's also the rise of the crowdsourcing type economy.
Yeah,
I mean, Uber and
the disruptive
and
economy.
And all of that.
The
disruptive
economy, and that's going to be more and more a part of what we do. So I think, you know, to focus on some of those things to say, where is our next wave of prosperity?
Mm.
You know, we've now come to the end, and we're seeing that with the closure of Hazelwood. Our last big wave of economic prosperity, apart from the mining boom, which was localised, was cheap power here in Victoria, and that started in the 1920s. And with the exit of the car manufacturing industry, we're now seeing the end of that era. The new era is our brains and our hands.
Yes.
You know, and we've got to think about how we transform to that sort of economy. It's happening in the centre of the city.
Yes.
You know, we're creating 10,000 jobs a year in the centre of the city, and we know where they are and who they are and what they're doing. But that prosperity is not being equally shared, even throughout metropolitan Melbourne, much less country Victoria. So I think some pretty serious thinking about the next generation of secure jobs is in order.
We're almost out of time, Robert. We'll have to break for news very soon. But I just wanted to ask you, are there any messages that you'd like to actually communicate to our listeners?
I think I'd love for... All
I suspect
the,
you're not going to be back in our studio this probably, side of Christmas
probably
or
not.
New Year.
I'd say to the whole Joy family, I hope they really do have a very happy and a very peaceful and a very safe Christmas. It is a time to be with loved ones.
Yes.
And for some in our community, that can be difficult. There have been family dislocations. We understand that. But it is a time, I hope, where people can find happiness. And the one thing I would say is, maybe in the midst of present buying, which is a lovely thing to be able to do, it's great to give presents to people, maybe think of a small donation to one of those agencies like the Salvos or Melbourne City Mission who help those people for whom Christmas is a very lonely time and a tough time. So keep safe, keep happy, and maybe a little thought for others.
That's
over
a
Christmas.
Very nice message.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.